Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Sitting at 4-2 going into a bye week, you know, at any point you can have a winning season. Almost halfway through the year. I know we're not quite halfway, but I think you'll take those odds.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen before heading off to the bye. You know, it should be said the Bills are 4-2, and they do throughout their history. I mean, where we're at so many years in a row where they've lost two in a row. They are still 4-2.
And
they
it's typically still here.
Yeah, no.
This
yeah.
part of the season where they lose a couple games in a row. Wow, it really is like clockwork. Oh, God.
That's kind of where I've stopped caring about it. Like, yeah, they lost two in a row. Like, and even after the first loss to New England, it was almost freeing to be able to talk about some of the issues the team had and not be, called, a doomer or whatever and you wanting the team to fail. Like, no. But this team has done very similar things throughout the last 5-6 years. They lose two in a row in like October, November, and then they go on an absolute heater to secure like the second or three seed because they've never been the first seed. And then they're out in the divisional round. There have been outliers. They made the AFC Championship game last year and they made it in 2020. But for the most part, it's kind of the same story over and over and over again. They will absolutely fix their stuff to a certain extent to go on a run. I will be absolutely stunned if it doesn't happen. And to be fair, if it doesn't happen, cool, I'm calling for jobs. We've done this a little bit too long.
Right.
History will tell you, will show you, this team with Josh Allen, a quarterback, they're going to go on a heater to end the year. And they're going to win some games that you're like, I mean, man, how are they not Super Bowl favorites? You look at the lines, it hasn't really changed all that much. I mean, only recently, and it may have changed after last night's result, but only recently did Pittsburgh finally overtake Baltimore's favorites in the AFC North. Again, it may have changed after last night. I don't know. But the Bills are still one of the Super Bowl favorites. Makes sense. Of course, you just want to keep getting to the dance. But that's where my problem has been with the team is that it seems like the same things are reoccurring. We mentioned it for the trade deadline stuff. They're arguably looking for two of the same positions they've traded for in the last 2 years in wide receiver and corner. I agree with you, though. Safety is above corner in that pegging order. But
they're less
available. Also maybe, yeah, it's going to be much harder to find. You see Cam Taylor-Britt for Cincinnati is a healthy and active yesterday, and you get wide-eyed because like, no, wait a second.
There might be a trade happening.
Wait a second.
Trades?
You know, that's corner. You can make that work. Wide receiver, you can make that work, especially when you have an elite quarterback.
They're not trading anyone. Joe Flacco saved their season.
Joe Flacco did maybe save their season.
He actually, like, unironically might have saved their season.
May have done that. But that's where I get very I guess maybe you want to say just dug down in the dumps about the team is I think they're going to make the playoffs. But I'm well past, we hear some of the calls, and I think we all know somebody in our lives that mentions, be careful what you wish for. Remember the drought? Man, I'm well past that. There is a growing generation of Bills fans that only really know some success. They don't really remember the early years of the drought or the 2011 win over New England is like the high point of their Bills lives.
Yeah.
There's a generation of Bills fans growing that's not a thing. They only know the recent success. And We're well past the drought. We're at a point now where we're talking about Josh Allen's age and just how long McDermott's been here, and now a new stadium's coming up,
and a consistently average drafting record by Brandon Bean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's no longer just a year of like
– It's no longer
– You know, bad years happen because that's absolutely right. Howie Roseman is considered almost unanimous.
I mentioned the Jalen Reagor pick.
Yeah, as the best GM in football. But, yeah, he's had huge misses.
He picked Reagor over Jefferson.
And I think in back-to-back drafts, I think his first round was Jalen Reagor wide receiver and then Andre Dillard on the offensive line. Both were terrible picks. The
man had Nelson Agholor as a first-round pick. Like, yeah, there are misses. But can you make up for it and draft stars in other rounds? And the Bills –
It's been a few years now.
It's the lack of stars that is hurting them now. And it's not about, oh, okay, like these guys are good players. It is the lack of star power.
And when you bring up lack of star power, I saw Eric Turner bring this up, and I listen to Colin Cowherd a lot, and he brings this up too, because it's true in like every sport. These quote-unquote high-leverage situations. In baseball, it's high-leverage at-bats.
Right.
That's when you point to that star player. It's why Moneyball in baseball specifically didn't work as a 100% concept. You needed the guys with the human aspect and everything like that just in a big moment made a big play. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the Toronto Blue Jays has been this, that in moments when you need him most, hitting a home run, hitting a clutch single to drive in a run, grand slam, what have you. He's done pretty much all of it in these postseasons. Allen is that for the Bills, that when you need a big moment, he's got it for you. It's why I get frustrated when people are saying that they're leaning on their star players. You should. You absolutely should lean on your star.
You need to.
Yeah, you should absolutely lean into your star players. That's why they're there.
James Cook with the touchdown run to take a lead that they would never unfortunately be able to keep. But that is a play that has to be made. And James Cook delivers it for you through hell or high water, Space Jam stretching it over the goal line.
But past those two, who do the Bills have? Terrell Bernard has an eye for the ball, but he's not necessarily really kind of past that stuff in the fourth quarter. He's very much a negative, it feels like, for the Bills oftentimes. On the defensive line, maybe they've got it in Ed Oliver and Deion Walker. I don't want to say that that's not true. They may have that. But, for your corners, once Trey got hurt, they've really not been able to recover from that. Matt Milano, same thing, outside linebacker. Once he got his injuries, never really were able to recover from that. I don't want to say Bean has been terrible from the start. That's not true.
That's why I use the word average.
Right, and I think that's right. He's been average because he has had some hits, especially in the late rounds. But now it's a lot of not bloated contracts, but maybe contracts that shouldn't have been given. You look at all the extensions we have given out over this offseason. One of them is hitting in James Cook. Shakir is maybe a kind of incomplete, not really sure. He did pick up an injury. The passing offense as a whole hasn't been great, and he's a slot receiver. So there's, some wiggle room there. But Rousseau, Benford, Bernard.
Nothing out of them
nothing.
Right now.
Rousseau, I continue to wait for him to pop, to move past just the underlying statistics and be overall very good. And we're still waiting.
Yeah, and it's to a point where, there are games where he's just on a milk carton.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta was one of them. Terrell Bernard, he picks up an injury in the Atlanta game, but
they maybe got better.
But also, Bernard's probably, of the three, your best one. Benford has zero pass breakups this year. And it's not out of a lack of targets.
Yeah, no. I mean, what we talk, his passer rating went up from, he was allowing 88% to now 111.
And while passer rating has a flawed metric to it, anytime there's a notable increase, though, there's a problem.
Yeah, it tells the story itself. But I think that's where I get worried even with the trade deadline stuff. Is it really just putting a Band-Aid on a bigger issue? Which is, their drafting has not been good enough. It's why we're looking at Keon Coleman as a second-round pick, begging for him to get moved around, Eric Wood, just to see what we got there. James Cook, they do pay him four years, $48 million. People want to see him in the offense more. Why? He's your second-best player on the offense.
Right.
Kincaid, use him more. He might be really good, and I think this is maybe where where everybody eats really is a detriment, is the idea of not leaning on your stars when they should.
And ready? Even last year, you asked the question of, who else can you even lean on?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Kincaid has an opportunity at that big moment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen.
It does not happen. Yeah.
It does not happen. And it's almost an incredible moment. Allen puts a prayer ball up on a moment where at the line of scrimmage, you got outcoached. And Allen does everything that he humanly can. Because that play is supposed to go to Shakir on that motion in and then back out to the offensive left.
Mm-hmm.
He's wide open for your gain that you need to get. But that blitz happens, and they had correctly diagnosed the protection at the line, but Spagnuolo puts that extra concept in there, and it hurts. But Allen does enough to offer an opportunity, and it's a relatively clean opportunity because there's no KC defender that's going to get his hands on this football somehow. Ultimately, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a throwaway. It's not even what I would call a prayer ball. In the situation that he throws it away
it even looks like it, but
when he lets it go, it is a prayer. But it's not at risk of being picked. It's not even at risk of being knocked down. It's tough to track it down, but it's tracked down. And you just had the other half of that play, unfortunately, not connect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tough part. That's the other part of it that I'm very optimistic about what Kincaid's been doing this season, because it does seem like maybe he has taken that next step, quote unquote, so to say, in becoming the big play element. Because what has he been doing every week, save for a Jets game that they didn't need him? The answer is catching a 20-plus yard ball.
Yeah, even in the game against New Orleans, he only has two targets, but the one catches for 28 yards and a touchdown.
And that's literally called a category known as big plays.
Mm-hmm.
So am I seeing Dalton Kincaid becoming a big player who makes big plays? Maybe. It's the statistic. It's right there.
Yeah, I'd just like to see it more.
I'd like to see it more. And again, I see the graphic, though, of him being on the field 45% of the time.
The New England game, he's only on at 54.4%. His other big game, Miami, 55%. Real quick, before we take our next time out, Bills, they'll be back in action next week, getting ready for Carolina.
Yep.
Going to have to take on another big running back, and Rico Dowdle has been amazing. Bryce Young, and we had a caller recently, Ryan bring up, you know, how good Carolina's been. Namely, Bryce Young at home has been very good.
They took the Falcons to task 30-0. While transitive property doesn't work in the NFL,
that is a thing. I mean, that did happen.
That did happen. It doesn't mean that Carolina is going to be guaranteed a win. It's something to look out for. They've been playing well.
Yeah, but I do want to bring up something here before we leave, because we were talking a little bit about it before the show started.
Yes.
A little college football talk here, because I got to bow out to get ready for Shelton Bulldogs, so Derek will have you for the last segment.
You won't be far here, though.
But I want to talk a little bit in college football because there was a big contract extension yesterday. Kirk Cignitti at Indiana gets 8 years, $11.6 million.
I'll behave.
And the reason really why I want to bring it up too is I've seen a lot of people almost seemingly worried at Cignitti getting that extension, that Indiana maybe rushed it. And, well, let's see how the year plays out. And I heard Paul Feinbaum talking about that today on ESPN. And Feinbaum, to many, is, you know, the voice of college football. For me, and this is someone that's not an Indiana fan and more just kind of enjoying the ride and everything like that, why wait? Why wait? If you're not watching college football and you hear Indiana football and you go, what are we talking about? This is a program that had won 8-9 games in a 3-year run.
I was also being hyperbolic when we were originally talking about this off air, saying that Kirk Cignitti has already done more in 1.5 seasons than the entirety of Indiana football in 2 decades. Apparently, I was not far off on that.
Yeah, it's closer to 3, I think, right?
Yeah. So the last time, now I don't know if you remember it or not. Do you remember the last time that Indiana won more than 8 games in a season?
It's not 2020.
No.
That's like the quote unquote last time they're good, but it's a COVID shortened season. They take advantage of a bad schedule. When is it?
It's 1967.
Yeah, it's before I was born.
It's before a lot of us were born.
A few years. I'm coming around the block, but it's a few years before I'm born. But I know they haven't won a bowl game since the 90s.
If you've watched that season, you're not even a 41-year-old who had a great day yesterday.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's where they are. Their last bowl win is 1991.
Yeah, so for me, ultimately, in now 1.5 seasons, he's 17-2 on the job. He just beat Oregon in Autzen. And for me, why wait?
They only have one.
With the Penn State job opening and him being the Eastern Pennsylvania guy from Pittsburgh, you know, Penn State might be a dream job for him. Why wait to maybe, you know, honestly, play with fire? And then if I'm Cignitti too, and people may be wondering why I stayed in Indiana, we'll point this out. They have one of the largest living alumni bases at, like, I think over 900,000. They actually do have quite a bit in the NIL fund. And if you're Cignitti, who, by the way, is not a young guy, he's 64. This contract will take until he's 72. This is probably the last big contract he has. It is top 3 in the sport. He's only behind Kirby Smart and Ryan Day. He does this stuff, like we mentioned. I mean, you haven't won a bowl game since the 90s. They haven't won more than 8 games in a season outside of last year since the 60s. They haven't won a Big Ten title since 67. Legacy. You're thinking about legacy when you're around, I would imagine, Cignitti's age. He does this 2-3 more years. Stuff like this. He's getting a statue. He's getting the stadium named after him.
Recreate a new stigma for Indiana football.
Yeah. And I think that might matter more than just being a guy that comes in and tries to do what James Franklin couldn't at Penn State, where instead he might build something long-lasting to Indiana. I think it's a great move by the Hoosiers, and it makes them super relevant in a Big Ten that is sort of in flux with everything going on. Michigan passed Harbaugh, Michigan State, garbage. Penn State now, unknown what they're going to do there. And you just beat Oregon, who did win the Big Ten title last year. Indiana might actually be coming a power.
All right, now that you made me throw up in my mouth, I have to be snotty before we leave this segment.
Purdue is ranked number 1 in basketball.
Exactly.
Before it starts.
Exactly. That's what matters more anyway.
803-0550, the number to call. Show up in the Bulldog. Coming up at the top of the hour, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. We've been filling in for One Bills Live. Derek, we'll have you the rest of the way when we come back. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.